Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
What are you going to do? Robin Lundberg Show, CBS Sports Radio. You know, just got to be able to pull it off. Got to use the swagger as they sampled this song for that song back in the day. And I'm joined now by Rod Higgins, who's an NBA TV analyst, of course, former NBA player, was president of basketball operations for Charlotte in the NBA as well. And Rod, I want to start with the Pacers-Cavs series, because I think that's the one that the most people are interested in at the moment, having to do with LeBron James, of course. And I was very surprised that the Cavs blew that game last night. If the second half had been how the game started, it wouldn't have been so shocking to me after watching the first two games. But after watching the first half, it felt like the Cavs had asserted control. Do you think this is now Indiana's series to lose, or do you think that the Cavs can go back and capture a little what they did in that first half?
Yeah, I think they can get back to what they were able to accomplish in that first half. The Cleveland Cavaliers, you know, they have arguably the greatest player to ever play, and he's going to allow them to, you know, play at a certain level. You know, with Cleveland last night coming out to the 17-point lead, maybe, you know, they took their foot off the gas a little bit, but you have to give all the credit to the Pacers, you know, with some of those players that made those plays. You know, Bogdanović, he had some clutch shots down the stretch, you know, and even Oladipo, you know, he draws so much attention, he helps that machine run. And then the defense by the Pacers were incredible in the second half of the game. So, I mean, to answer your question, I think the Cavs can get back into it because they're going to have to go back and look at film. I don't think the series is over at all. I think it's could be a seven-game series.
I think it comes down to game four, personally. I think whoever wins game four is going to win the series. Would you agree with that?
I mean, I wouldn't argue that point. You know, you make a valid point. You know, if Cleveland wins, it goes 2-2. If, you know, obviously if Indiana wins, it's going to be tough for Cleveland to come back, you know, 3-1 deficit. But with that being said, what a fantastic series for us to be witnessing.
Oh, no doubt. And, you know, with LeBron, to me, I mean, it's ridiculous that this series, I don't think it has anything to do with his overall career. I think he's past the point of anything affecting his legacy and more toward adding to his legend, right? I mean, he's already sort of, his place in history is set, but it does impact where he might wind up and the way he's viewed in that sense. Do you think any of that has any effect on the team? Because he handled it very well after the game last night where he said, you know, don't ask me to throw my teammates under the bus. Yeah, they might not be scoring, but we all got to play better. I wasn't good in the third quarter.
There's no question. He knows what it's all about. I mean, what benefit would it be for him to criticize at this point? You know, the game isn't won on one or two possessions. It's won and lost over the course of the 48 minutes, and he knows that he's got to have his guys locked in, confident, you know, because he's going to do his job. He's going to try to facilitate. He's going to try to score. He's going to try to do all the things that LeBron James does, and hopefully some of his guys will maybe get in better spots. You know, sometimes the game can start flowing a certain way, and then maybe a perimeter shooter can't get going because the game, you know, got sped up. I thought the game got sped up for Cleveland in the second half offensively, you know, with the Pacers' defensive pressure. Cleveland started almost playing out of character, out of rhythm, so to speak. So good for the Pacers, and I'm sure the Cleveland Cavaliers will now go back and say, you know, we need to make sure we can get our shots where we want them and not where they want us to have them.
Robin Lundberg talking to Rod Higgins, NBA TV analyst, former NBA player, and president of basketball operations here on CBS Sports Radio. Now, another storyline that interests me is, of course, what's going on with Golden State. I mean, we sort of had the Cavs and the Warriors on a collision course year in and year out, and the NBA is my favorite league. Basketball is my favorite sport, but a fair criticism has been, it's been predictable, even if some of us just want that to be the end outcome. It doesn't feel like that's a certainty at all right now, of course, obviously with what's going on with the Cavs, but even on the Warriors side of things, with Steph out of the lineup, they've still been able to get by San Antonio. Personally, I think the Spurs were probably the worst team in the playoffs talent-wise. Maybe San Antonio, maybe Milwaukee, I'm not sure. But they've made easy work of San Antonio thus far. But so have the Pelicans against the Blazers. Do you think the Pelicans pose a threat to the Warriors in the second round, given that they got two guys in the backcourt with some length who can defend, and they have Anthony Davis in the middle?
Of course they'll be a threat. You know, you have an all-star player, superstar talent in Anthony Davis, who's a matchup problem for whomever is trying to guard him. So, of course, the Warriors are going to have to figure out how you deal with Anthony Davis. And then in terms of, you know, the roster, you know, I would still say the Warriors, you know, without Steph, even if Steph can't play, I think they'll have enough to, you know, get through that series. Who's to say that, you know, I'm right with a prediction, but I'll tell you what, you know, you got to give the Pelicans all the credit. You know, I think Rondo and Holiday, along with Anthony Davis and I guess Mirotic, the last game, those guys have taken their game to that playoff level. You know, Rondo is pretty special at this time of the year when he's locked in and he's healthy. You know, there have been a couple years back he wasn't healthy, but, you know, now Rondo is able to control that game on the defensive end, you know, also on the offensive end. You know, he always has a bailout with Anthony Davis in terms of throwing the ball anywhere to Anthony. He can finish up top. He can finish on the perimeter. He has, you know, Drew Holiday who can make plays. So, it's going to be interesting to see what happens in that second round. But, you know, I think ultimately, you know, the Warriors will still have what it takes to win that series.
And is that with Steph or without Steph?
Doesn't matter.
See, I kind of think that we'll see more of the absence of Steph against the Pelicans because they can score a little bit more, spread you out a little bit more. I think that the Spurs were such a good matchup for the Warriors without Steph simply because they could ratchet up the defense and San Antonio can't really create offense against them, and then it allows them to get easy buckets out in transition and they don't have to rely on Steph setting the pace for them as much, if that makes sense.
Yeah, I mean, you have a valid point. You know, it's going to be interesting. It's you know, when you're in the playoffs, it's who's going to will their style of play on the other team. And, you know, if the Pelicans can will their style of play on Golden State and keep their tempo down, you know, the Pelicans, you know, they're a high-tempo team as well. They scored 119 points against Portland the other night, so they can put the points on the board. You know, it's all about the matchups, you know. So I guess Anthony Davis, who's going to guard him? I guess they all will get a shot at him because the way the Warriors play defense with their switching style of play and zoning. And you know, I'm sure Draymond will get a lot of Anthony Davis. But, you know, Draymond, that's a tough matchup for Draymond because Anthony is a 7-footer who can do about anything. But, you know, KD is going to be a problem for the Pelicans. You know, if he's healthy and he's ready to go, who matches up with KD? You know, that's one that the Warriors are going to say, okay, KD can get his shot anytime. And the way they're playing now with KD on top of the floor, you know, he's taking a lot of Steph's touches in terms of transition basketball, trying to push it, create, score the ball. You know, who matches up with him? You know, if Rondo tries to match up with him, Rondo can be in a bad way. If Anthony Davis tries to match up with him, he can be in a bad way. So it's all about the matchups in the playoffs. But like I said earlier, I still think the Warriors have the goods to win that series.
Now, the other first-round series that I feel the least sure about the outcome is the Thunder and the Jazz. Who do you think is going to win that series?
Ooh, what a good one that one is. Oh, man. You know, what is that?
That's 1-1 going into tonight, game three, yeah.
And going again, I think it can go, you can probably flip a coin. You know, I think that you got to, it's all about the matchups, like I said earlier. Oklahoma City has the talented players. Paul George had that outstanding game one. He struggled in game two. Well, you know, where's Paul George going to be for game three in terms of production? That's probably a series that, you know, it would be hard to predict at this point for me. I think it can go either way.
Rod, appreciate your time this morning. Rod Higgins, NBA TV analyst, former NBA player, and general manager. Thanks for the time.
Thanks, guys.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.